How's everybody doing today? Right. This is the Saturday morning crowd. This is the true Christian crowd. Anybody can come out on a Friday night, even in the midst of a blizzard. But to get up early. All right, I want to clarify. I know that was not a blizzard last night. It's called speaker humor, trying to get the audience to laugh. Had several people say, you know, we were all laughing at you last night because you're so stupid. You thought that was a blizzard. I was like, no, I know that wasn't a blizzard. It still would have canceled church in Texas, though. But we have two services at church in Dallas, and we've got the 8:30 crowd. It's always a smaller crowd, and then we got the 10:45 crowd, and it's the 8:30 crowd that I really admire, the first service crowd. And today, I kind of sense that this is the first. If you had multiple services, you would all be part of the first service crowd because you got up early to be here on a Saturday morning, which is, to me, it's an honor and a privilege that you would do this. You've only got so many Saturdays out of your year. I know there's probably a bunch of other stuff you could be doing. This morning, you could go to the park and play frisbee, work on your suntan. No, maybe this is the only thing you have going here right now. I don't know. Okay, I want to do something risky in that I want to open it up to you for just a minute and ask a question or two. But before I do that, I want you to understand, just because I'm opening by asking you to make some comments does not mean I'm giving you permission to make comments throughout the rest of my presentation. Does that make sense? All right, sometimes you get people talking and then you just start interrupting me. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, do not interrupt the preacher while he's talking. But if he asks some questions, it's totally okay to do that. So I know most of you were here last night, recognize lots of faces. There probably are a few people who weren't able to be here last night. So both for the benefit of those who weren't here last night and also for my humility just to see what you actually heard last night, who would want to share one statement, not a paragraph, not an essay, one sentence from, if you were going to summarize what we talked about last night, how would you do it in one sentence? Who would like to share something and say it loud enough for us all to hear? Yep, back here. Yes. Yes, the Bible is not just a book, even though we have formed it into one book. The Bible is actually a library of books. 39 books on the top shelf, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, 27 books on the bottom shelf, second shelf, the New Testament. So we're thinking this weekend about how the Bible is actually this ancient library. Good, thank you very much. Who else wants to add to that? One sentence. Yes. Yes.
The beginning of the last book. And it was written by several, I think you said 40-some authors.
Do I have the numbers up here? No, I don't have them on here. I had them in my previous one. Yeah, we talked about Bible by the numbers. So the Bible is this library, ancient library, 66 books written over a 1,500-year period, somewhere around 1,500 B.C. to the end of the first century, give or take several hundred years, by at least 40 different authors writing in how many different languages? Three different languages. And in three major literary styles, although if you are deep into literature, you would know there's a lot of other sub-styles and sub-genres as a part of that. Good, thank you. Who else? Add something to that. Yep. Yes, one of the big things we talked about in the last part of the session was the way that Jesus encourages us to read the Bible is you think of the top shelf, it all points to the cross, the Christ event. And the bottom shelf, the second shelf here, the New Testament, written after the Christ event, points back to it, explaining it. So this sets the stage for it, leads up to it, and then these writings unpack all the different implications of what it means to follow a crucified and risen Messiah. Very good. Thank you. Maybe one more summary statement. Yeah, back here. Yeah. One of the things I emphasized last night is that as seriously as we take the Bible and as good and positive and helpful as the Scriptures are, it's really important not to turn the Bible into an idol, which is simply to make it as important or more important than God. The Bible has a job, but the Bible's not God. The Bible's job is to point to Christ. And we use that illustration where it would be like going to the Grand Canyon, following a map to the Grand Canyon, and you get to the Grand Canyon and you celebrate the map or argue with other travelers about the map instead of standing there and taking in what you see, what you've been led to. So that's going to be a really big part of what we talk about today too, this constant reminder that the Bible's purpose, two purposes, one is to point us to Jesus. We get this from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17, where Paul talks about how an inspired Bible, the Scriptures being inspired, do two things. They make us wise for salvation in Christ. I say point us to Jesus. And then they train us for righteousness. And I say train us to be more like Jesus. Now, when I talk about this morning how the Bible decenters itself, how it's important not to take the Bible too seriously, as in more seriously than we take Jesus, I want you to hear, I'm not trying to diminish the value of the Scripture. I'm not trying to put the Bible down. I'm actually just trying to read and let the Bible be what the Bible itself says it is supposed to be. It's always the pointer. It's the map that is taking us somewhere. We don't celebrate the Bible. We celebrate Christ. I don't think we should even fight over the Bible. If we're going to fight, and this is in the first century, when the Christians did have some struggles with each other, they didn't fight over the Bible. They fought over how they're going to live the Christ life together. They fought over what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean for Jews and Gentiles to follow Christ? And so the debates are not so much, let's debate your theory of what the Bible is and how it's supposed to work. The debate is really, okay, who's Christ and what does it mean to live like Him? And it may be followers of Jesus have different perspectives, different takes on that. And that's where the debate is in the first century, not really on what do you say about the Bible. It's interesting in modern Christianity, it seems modern Christians, we spend more time talking about and fighting over the Bible than we do debating or sharpening each other on what does it mean to actually live the Christ life in this world. Which really sets me up for what I want to talk about this morning. Last night, if it was about the Bible,